Chapter 8, August. Derek paced across the floor of his hotel room, strangely restless. He was all dressed and ready to go to the ballpark, but since he still had a few minutes before he needed to leave, he took a chance and called Stiles.
"Hey there,"
Stiles answered after about 3 rings, and maybe it was just the connection, but he sounded a little slurred. Derek's brow furrowed.
"Stiles, you okay?"
"Oh, I'm great," he said, letting out a very familiar little groan, and Derek froze.
Are you jerking off right now?"
"Yeah," he breathed. "You have really good timing. Do you need to go, or..." Derek grimaced and swung his gaze over to the alarm clock on the nightstand. There were generally 2 shuttles to the ballpark, and the first one left in 10 minutes. He always took the first bus, but as Stiles' breath hitched in his ear, "Yeah, he could take the second one today. Definitely."
"Yeah, I mean, no," Derek said, squeezing his eyes shut. "I'm good. Keep going."
Stiles laughed in his ear, and Derek stumbled back towards the bed. They sent each other photos on Snapchat with decent regularity, but they'd never had phone sex before. Derek ever, obviously. And he didn't really know what to expect. "Please tell me you're alone right now."
"Yeah,"
Derek mumbled, struggling to get his pants down. If he concentrated, he could hear the slick slide of Stiles' hand on his dick. And thanks to that, he was half hard already. "No roommate this time." "You got a few minutes then? I can promise you it won't take me much longer than that."
"Give me a minute to catch up,"
he said, wrapping his hand around his rapidly hardening dick, and Stiles laughed, breathless. "Let's see if we can come at the same time," he said, and Derek snorted.
"Why?"
"Why not?" Stiles countered. "It'll be fun, come on. If we can do it, I'll do something really good next time we're together."
"Specific," Derek said, laughing.
"Okay, most of my blood is not exactly in my brain right now. Don't judge what I say.
This is phone sex. All I can do is judge what you say."
"So I'll be getting a grade later?"
"Yeah. You have comment cards, right?"
Stiles laughed and Derek grinned, squeezing a little harder.
"How close are you?"
Stiles hummed, and the noise twisted off into a gasp at the end. A 7. You?"
"Can't say I've ever put it on a scale before. Maybe a 4?
Stiles made another little noise, and Derek tried to picture it. How he twisted his face into the pillow whenever he got close, his fingers flexing. "Guess I'll have to step up my game," he said, and Derek's breath caught in his throat.
"That sounds ominous."
"I was taking my time before you called, thinking about you." Derek swallowed.
"Thinking about what?"
"How fucking good you look sucking my dick," Stiles said frankly, and Derek's cheeks filled with heat, even though no one was there to see. "Like that time in the shower a couple weeks ago, remember?"
"Yeah,"
he said, with a raspy chuckle. They'd both nearly ended up with brain damage, but it had been worth it.
"That was a good one."
"Also, you fucking me. Was thinking about that, too." Derek's hand sped up, seemingly of its own accord, and he automatically bit his lip to keep any sounds from escaping. Then he belatedly remembered that that was kind of the whole point, and he stopped resisting. The noise was kind of pathetic, though.
"Okay, maybe now I'm an 8.
Stiles had a lot of different laughs, but Derek's favorite was when it was breathless and tinged with arousal, when he seemingly couldn't decide whether to laugh or to groan.
"Yeah, right there with you." You haven't mentioned that in a while."
"Didn't know how you felt about it," Stiles said quietly.
"I'm, definitely amenable to the idea," he said, and Stiles snorted.
"Glad to hear it, believe me."
"I'm also really close," Derek admitted.
"Then stop," Stiles commanded, and it took every ounce of Derek's willpower to pry his fingers off his dick. He threw his head back against the pillow and groaned.
"Seriously?"
"Yes, seriously, you big drama queen. I've barely touched myself since you called. It would have been over too quickly," he said, sounding distracted almost. Derek took a deep breath, the phone hot against his cheek, and clenched his hand on the comforter.
we get to see each other tomorrow, right?
Yep, Styles said breathlessly. Wish I could go to the game, since you're starting, but I can see you right after.
Good, he said, his hand inching closer to his thigh. What about now?
Now you better get your hand back on your dick if we're gonna do this, because I'm about to come.
No problem there, Derek thought, eagerly obeying.
They didn't quite get it. Styles' breathy grunt as he came sent Derek over the edge about 20 seconds later. But he thought it was a valiant effort. He said as much after they caught their breath, and Styles laughed.
Gives us something to improve on next time.
Derek exhaled and winced as the cum started to dry on his stomach.
I'll put it on the comment card, he said dryly, smirking when Styles made an indignant noise.
Derek crouched down behind the pitcher's mound and resisted the urge to scream. He settled for aggressively kicking at the dirt under the guise of rearranging it while the batter jogged to first base. He stepped back to the top of the mound and took a deep breath when the next batter stepped into the box.
Forget about the last one, forget about the last one, he chanted. Having a short memory was the best quality in a pitcher, and he needed to not think about the last batter while he faced this one.
Derek wound up and threw, but that very first pitch got smacked on a line straight into left field, and the runners on second and third base raced home. Derek backed up the play at home plate, as was his job, but both runs scored easily. He stalked back to the mound, practically vibrating with frustration.
Fuck, he barked, unable to keep it in.
He whipped off his hat and ran a hand through his hair, trying to calm down. Patty turned to look at the dugout, and Derek followed his gaze. Finstock emerged a second later, jogging toward the mound while he lifted one hand toward the bullpen in the far left field.
Shit.
Derek blew out a frustrated breath. His day was done. 6 runs in under 5 innings. By far the worst start of his professional career. And it was only because of the team's confidence in him that he'd even been able to throw 5 innings. A less established starter would have gotten pulled a lot sooner. And he basically pissed all over that confidence. He held his glove over his face and took another deep breath. The TV cameras were on him, he knew, and he wasn't really in the mood to moderate his expressions. Finstock held out his hand when he reached the mound, and Derek dropped the ball into it, biting back words he knew he shouldn't say.
You'll get him next time, Hale.
He nodded shortly. Patty gave his ass a friendly smack with his glove, but Derek didn't even register it as he strided off. He hated being pulled from games, especially when it was because of performance and not just how many pitches he'd thrown. At least the Dodger fans were quiet. A more hostile crowd would have been either booing him or rudely cheering the fact that he was leaving the game, and Derek kept his head down as he jogged back toward the dugout. He threw his glove down onto the bench, a little more violently than necessary, and Isaac immediately came up behind him and grabbed his arm.
Hey, calm down.
Derek gritted his teeth in irritation. But he knew Isaac was just being rational. Way too many pitchers injured themselves in dumb ways by punching things after bad starts, and everyone knew to look out for it. Derek wasn't helping his team much right now, but he'd be helping a lot less with a couple broken fingers.
I'm fine, he spit out, shoving out of Isaac's grip. Let me go.
Isaac stepped back, both hands raised, and Derek made a mental note to apologize to him later. He stopped into the clubhouse, avoiding everyone, and let himself into the gym, exhaling gratefully when he saw it was empty. He caught a glimpse of himself in the mirror and winced, turning to face the other way. He literally couldn't look at himself right now, after such a disappointing start. Sometimes he really wished they had a punching bag, but the guys would probably get hurt using it when they were upset, as Derek was. He busied himself by lifting weights instead, taking breaks every 15 minutes or so to check the score of the game. The guy who came in to relieve him didn't give up any more runs, but the Dodgers' offense couldn't scrape together enough runs, and they lost 6-4. Not that it was the offense's job to bail him out. Derek let them down. He put it off as long as he could, icing his arm and getting a massage, but there was no way Derek would be getting out of talking to the media that night. It was as awful as he anticipated,
and he had to clench his jaw more than once to stop himself from saying something rude that wouldn't do anything except get repeated on SportsCenter. He was even more tense afterward, and he sighed when he saw the 3 text notifications from Styles on his phone.
8:15 p.m. Styles. Frowny face. Styles. Sorry, Dare. Styles. My place or yours tonight? Derek. Neither. Can't have any distractions right now. Styles. Okay.
Derek sighed. This was their first game back in L.A. after being gone for a week, and he and Styles had planned to get together. He pushed down the guilty feeling, though, and turned off his phone, stuffing it into the bottom of his bag. He hung around the ballpark longer than usual, working out some more and taking a long shower once most people had cleared out. He finally left, and the bag slung over his shoulder felt impossibly heavy as he trudged out to his car. His apartment was cold and empty and dark after a week of being away, and Derek putzed around, going through his mail and carefully watering his plants. He ate a depressing snack of cold cereal and a banana. Keeping a stock of fresh groceries wasn't the easiest with how much he traveled, before brushing his teeth and climbing into bed. The whole experience reminded him way too much of his lonely existence last year, when his entire life revolved only around baseball. And he missed Styles with a sudden visceral pain in his gut. It was for the best, though, he reminded himself sternly. He clearly wasn't capable of handling distractions. It took him a long time to fall asleep. He and Styles spent the night together more often than not taking into account Derek's road trips, and he had apparently gotten very used to the sound of his quiet breathing and the feel of another warm body in bed. Plus, he couldn't stop replaying the game in his head over and over again, and he was pretty sure it was getting to him in a bad way. Finally, at about 2 a.m., Derek finally gave in to the urge to turn his phone back on. There weren't any texts from Styles, though, and he frowned. He waited, hoping that maybe it would take a few minutes for any texts to come through after the phone had been off, but nothing showed up. He sighed and carefully set the phone on the pillow next to him before closing his eyes. They only played 4 games in L.A., then late Thursday night, they were back on the plane for a short trip to San Francisco. They had lost 3 out of 4 against Pittsburgh, with Derek's bad start to lead them off, and the plane ride was appropriately subdued. Most of the guys were stretched out, dozing, but Derek sat down next to Boyd. "How do you have a relationship and not have it take over your life?" he asked quietly, once he finally worked up enough courage to do so. Boyd's eyes were half closed, and he didn't appear to have heard the question, but Derek knew better than to repeat himself. "Don't blame Styles for your bad start," he said finally, and Derek grimaced. "I'm not," he said. It sounded weak, even to his own ears. "Does he know that?" Derek let his head fall back against the headrest with a thump. "I told him that night that I didn't want him to come over because I didn't want to be distracted. And we haven't really talked since then." Boyd's expression didn't change, but Derek swore he could feel disapproval coming off him anyway.
That wasn't the nicest.
"I know," he said, twirling his phone in his fingers even though it was switched off. "But what if it is too distracting?" Boyd sighed.
"Don't blame yourself, either. You don't have to be a monk to be a good baseball player. You're allowed to have some happiness in your personal life. Either you want to be with him, or you don't. Baseball has nothing to do with it."
Derek nodded, only partially convinced.
"Right."
Boyd sighed again and lowered his voice.
"Do you, like, sext him during games?"
"No."
"Do you spend time with him when you should be working out or watching tape or something?"
Derek thought about it.
"No, not really."
Boyd shrugged.
"Then you're fine." "It was one bad game, Derek. You'll be fine. And it has nothing to do with Styles. Stop overanalyzing it."
Easier said than done, he thought to himself, mulishly, but he knew better than to keep arguing with Boyd. He was rational to a fault, and he certainly didn't ruminate over things like Derek did, which he'd been making a habit of over the past week, even more so than usual. He'd been watching tape obsessively in between bouts of working out, probably harder than he should have, and pointedly not talking to Stiles. Not that Stiles was all that eager to talk to him either, apparently, because they hadn't spoken since Monday night. It was certainly the longest they'd gone without speaking since they'd met, and Derek was feeling the absence acutely. But each time he found his thoughts drifting toward Stiles, he replayed his bad start in his head and made himself watch more tape. An effective punishment, unfortunately. He threw his customary midweek bullpen session yesterday, 35 to 40 pitches at near game intensity, and it went about as well as his last start. That is, terrible. His grip still felt off. Something wonky was going on with his release, and he just could not get it together. He even snapped at Patty, who knew way more about pitching than Derek did, and deserved respect instead of derision. He'd sheepishly apologized later that day, but Patty just rolled his eyes at him and said it was fine. He'd also muttered something under his breath about prima donna pitchers, but Derek decided to ignore that part. And now they had to play the Giants, the Dodgers' biggest rival and their biggest competition for a playoff seat. Over the past month, they'd maintained about a 3-game lead over the Giants in their division. Not a comfortable margin by any means, but each game was precious. That lead had fallen to 1.5 after the Dodgers' poor showing against Pittsburgh, and they really couldn't afford to lose any this weekend. No pressure or anything. Derek took a deep breath. He was pitching on Saturday, and the fact that it was a nationally televised afternoon game wasn't doing anything to help his nerves. Not that their typical viewing audience was small, and the highlights certainly went worldwide, but still. Derek couldn't remember the last time he'd been this nervous, and he wasn't looking forward to millions of people watching him screw up. Derek was stretched out on the bed, attempting to read a novel, though he had a hard time even finishing a paragraph without his mind wandering off to pitching, then Stiles, then pitching again, when someone knocked at his door. He sighed and stared at the door, wrinkling his nose and trying to decide if he should open it or not. Security was pretty tight on their floors, which meant it was likely a teammate. Someone probably forgot toothpaste or something. He dragged himself to the door and opened it, more than a little surprised to see Patty standing there, in basketball shorts and a threadbare Dodgers t-shirt. His face was placid, but Derek swallowed. Patty acted more like a coach than a teammate often, and he got the feeling that he was about to be yelled at. "Hey, come on in."
"I didn't wake you, did I?"
he asked, and Derek shook his head.
"Nah, just reading. What's up?"
"Not much," Patty said, shrugging his shoulders in a clear attempt to look casual. "Just wanted to talk to you before your start tomorrow."
He sprawled in the desk chair, propping his feet up on the desk, and Derek sat down carefully on the end of the bed.
"Okay."
"Have you been watching Giants tape?"
he asked, and Derek gave him a funny look. That was what they did before starts, watch tape of the batters they'd be facing.
"Yeah, of course."
"Pretty much 24/7, he added in his head.
"Well, I've been watching your tape from the Pittsburgh game."
Derek winced. He hadn't been doing that, and it wasn't an accident.
"Oh, God. See anything illuminating?"
"Actually, yeah,"
Patty said, aimlessly doodling on the pad of hotel stationery.
"What do you think went wrong that day?"
Derek swallowed.
"I have no idea. It felt like a piece of me was missing. My grip felt weird, my throw felt awkward, and then no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get it back under control when I lost it."
"You're going through a slump," Patty said, nodding. "It happens to everyone. Something's wrong with your grip, your mechanics are off, the planets are misaligned, whatever. That shit happens. I've been in the game a long time, you know? And that means I've caught a lot of pitchers. And it turns out, when guys go through slumps and react badly, they do it in one of two ways. They either blame everything around them,
shitty defense, bad umpires, whatever. Or they blame themselves too much and start trying to change everything all at once. Which one do you think you are? Derek snorted.
The second one.
Yeah, exactly. You're great, Derek. Really great. And you've probably been great since you were 15. But you need to learn how to deal with adversity, because you are going to have bad starts. It's just a fact. A few a year, probably.
Right, he said, blowing out a breath.
Patty let his feet fall to the floor with a clunk and leaned forward, bracing his arms on his knees. You're overcorrecting when things start to go wrong. You're doing the right thing, sure, but you're going too far in the other direction.
Overcorrecting, he repeated, and Patty nodded.
You are very good. Pitch by pitch, you're going to win more than you lose, for sure. But sometimes, because we're all professionals, the other guy's going to get a win. Just because someone gets a hit off you doesn't automatically mean it was a bad pitch. Make corrections if you need to, but don't throw everything else out of whack just because something went wrong one time. That's when it starts to feel really off, like you were describing. You've got to trust yourself, Hale. Trust your judgment. Trust that you know what you're doing. Derek nodded slowly, his mind spinning as he tried to process everything he was saying.
Okay.
Do you visualize?
He blinked. No, he tried, and Patty laughed.
Let me guess. You replay the bad highlights instead, he said, and Derek nodded sheepishly. It sounds hokey as hell, I know, but it really does work. Think through your pitches. Think through how you're going to approach these guys. Picture it going well in your head. Hell, even think through it going badly and how you're going to keep a handle on things.
Yeah, I can do that, Derek said, biting his lip.
Patty stood up with a sharp nod and headed toward the door.
Hey, thanks, Patty. Really.
Patty clapped him on the shoulder. You're having an amazing season, Derek. You're a good pitcher, and it'll come back. You just need to relax. Don't be so hard on yourself. Derek threw himself headfirst into visualizing, with all the enthusiasm of someone trying to distract himself from something else. And by the time he arrived at the stadium the next morning, he was definitely feeling calmer. He had no idea if it was placebo effect or not, but he wasn't going to question it. The bullpens at AT&T Park were on the field, in the foul territory, and Derek easily ignored the jeers of the Giants fans as they watched him warm up. There were a few blue-clad Dodgers fans scattered in the nearby seats, trying valiantly to have their cheers heard over the sheer volume of Giants fans, and he tipped his hat toward them with a little point as he headed into the dugout. It was a beautiful day, breezy with puffy clouds drifting across the blue sky, and Derek felt moderately settled by the time he and Patty jogged out together for the bottom of the first inning.
You've got this shit, Patty said, patting him on the ass with his glove before he veered off toward home plate. I'm here. The whole team's behind you.
Derek nodded and took the ball from him, tossing it to Danny so the infield could start their warm-up. Overcorrecting, he chanted in his head. You're in control. Your stuff is good. Relax. Derek ended up getting pulled at the end of the sixth after giving up 4 runs. It wasn't quite a quality start, technically defined as at least 6 innings with no more than 3 runs, but it was pretty close. And more importantly, he didn't start freaking out when things went wrong. He walked down to the end of the dugout, accepting the fist bumps and head pats along the way, and slumped into his customary corner. Patty hopped up on the bench next to him and started unbuckling his leg guards.
So how'd it feel?
Better, Derek said after a minute. Something still feels a little off, but I tried not to force it.
Yeah, you did a good job. It'll come back.
Derek nodded. It was still disappointing, without question, but he didn't feel as unhinged, as frantic as he did after the last start. Patty was right. He was a good pitcher, and it would come back. After he showered and attempted to patiently answer the media's questions, Derek found a quiet spot in the visitors' clubhouse and plopped down on the corner,
staring at his phone. Their last message, Styles' terse, "Okay," from 5 days ago, taunted him, and he stared at it, trying to think of what to say. He'd overcorrected with Styles, too, he knew, and treated him unfairly. He needed to apologize at the very least.
5:09 p.m. Derek, can I come over tomorrow night after we get in? Derek, I'm sorry I've been such a dick. Styles, bring food and I'll think about forgiving you.
Derek exhaled and scratched at his beard. He could do food. It probably wasn't what Patty had in mind when he gave that advice, but on the car ride over to Styles's on Sunday night, Derek tried to visualize how their conversation would go. He would apologize, profusely, and hopefully Styles would forgive him, and then Derek would be able to go to sleep with Styles in his arms again. Easy, right? He grimaced at the thought. God, he hoped so. Derek made 2 stops on the way from the airport, and before he knew it, he was standing on Styles' doorstep, trying not to freak out. But before he could even work up the courage to knock on the door, Styles opened it. Hi, Derek said, swallowing as his eyes roved over Styles. They hadn't seen each other in person in 2 weeks, and he hadn't realized how much he missed him. The physical him. Until right this minute. Styles blinked at him and dropped his gaze to Derek's hands. How'd you know lilies were my favorite flower? How did you know I even had a favorite flower?
I talked to Lydia, he admitted. It took me forever to get a hold of her. I kept getting rerouted to her assistant.
Styles snorted and took the small bouquet from Derek's hands. Yeah, that's her passive-aggressive way of telling someone that she's mad at them.
And what's your passive-aggressive way of telling someone that you're mad at them?
Derek asked, trying for levity. The corner of Styles' mouth twitched up a tiny bit, so maybe it worked. Not texting them, he said, without missing a beat, even though I knew they were probably having a bad week. Derek sighed and slumped against the door jamb.
I'm really sorry.
Come on in, Styles said, pressing a chaste kiss to Derek's cheek as he went by him into the house. So tacos are your official apology food, huh?
Apparently.
Styles laughed, gesturing toward the couch in the living room before ducking into the kitchen. Sunday night baseball was on the TV, as usual, and Derek took a quick look. Twins and Cubs, neither of which were challenging the Dodgers for a playoff spot, so he didn't care. Styles came back with plates and napkins and sat on the floor next to Derek, reaching for a taco. So what happened? He asked, and Derek sighed.
I had a bad start, and then freaked out about it.
Styles hummed. Hurt my feelings, you know, he said, paying very studious attention to scraping out the little container of guacamole. That you said I was a distraction. Derek swallowed.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, you did. Fuck. Derek nibbled at his lower lip and nodded.
I was selfish and making rash decisions.
You kind of acted like a dick.
I did, Derek confessed. He bumped their knees together. And I'm sorry. I was starting to doubt myself that I could handle this, us, in addition to everything else. Which is unfair to you, obviously. And not to mention not true.
I mean, if you want more space...
I don't, Derek said quickly. Not at all. Do you?
Styles shook his head. No, I don't. But are you going to go hot and cold on me next time you have a bad start? He asked frankly, and Derek grimaced.
God, no. That was awful. I was awful. I have been such a pain to be around, you don't even know.
Oh, I could guess, Styles said with a little smirk, and Derek laughed.
It's been just baseball for so long in my life, which means this is an adjustment. But I'm trying, I swear.
Styles hummed again, popping his thumb into his mouth to suck off the salsa. I forgive you, you big lug. Stop looking so sad. Derek's instinctive sigh of relief was so loud that they both laughed, and Styles leaned over, sealing their lips together even as his shoulders still shook.
Thank you, Derek mumbled, and Styles nipped at his lower lip.
Look at us, we just survived our first fight.
My fault, Derek admitted, and Styles snorted.
Just means I'll get the next one. After they finished eating, Derek took off his blazer, safely assuming that he wasn't going to get kicked out, and stretched out on the couch with his head in Styles' lap. Styles traced his fingers through Derek's hair, scratching at his scalp, and the tension that Derek had been carrying in his shoulders for a week practically melted out of him. He pressed his mouth against the fabric of Styles' pajama pants to stop himself from saying something stupid. How could he ever think, however briefly, that this was something he had to deprive himself of? He was a fucking idiot. A lucky fucking idiot, that was for damn sure. Styles still seemed to have an uncanny ability to tell when Derek was about to fall asleep, because just as his eyes started to fall shut, Styles gently jostled his shoulder. Hey, sleepyhead, how about we go to bed? A good portion of Derek didn't want to budge from this insanely comfortable position, but he nodded and pushed up into a seated position. He stripped down to his boxers and got ready for bed while Styles putzed around the house, checking the locks and turning out lights. He strolled into the bedroom, his messy hair sticking up in spikes and his loose t-shirt accentuating those wide shoulders, and Derek's heart caught in his throat. Styles was not perfect, Derek knew. He wasn't that naive. But he was so good. So warm and lovely, and Derek definitely didn't deserve him. What's with the sad face? Styles asked, and Derek shook his head, trying for a smile.
Nothing. Just tired.
Then let's go to sleep. I've missed you.
Me too, Derek said truthfully, climbing into bed and sighing when Styles curled up next to him. It had been 2 weeks since they'd been able to fall asleep together, and it felt amazing.
Sleep didn't come easily, though, and after Derek had flipped positions for about the sixth time, Styles caught his arm and slid his hand over to tangle their fingers together briefly.
What's wrong? He mumbled, sounding about 75% asleep. Just thinking.
Brooding, you mean? What's on your mind? Derek was quiet for a little while, and part of him hoped Styles had fallen back asleep in the meantime.
I'm worried that I'm not good enough, he said softly, and Styles hummed.
Good enough for what? He asked after a minute.
Good enough at my job. Good enough for you.
Styles reached out blindly and patted him on the chest. Even if your arm fell off tomorrow and you never threw another pitch a day in your life, he murmured, I'd still love you just the same. Derek's eyes widened, looking up at the ceiling in the dark, and they were both silent for a second as Styles' words sunk in. Fuck! Styles yelped, waking himself up and scrambling up to his knees. He leaned over to switch the bedside lamp on, jabbing Derek in the gut in the process, and ran a frantic hand through his hair. I didn't mean, well, I meant it, obviously, but I wasn't saying it just to make you feel better. Oh shit, I'm ruining this. It's too early, right? I've been thinking it, but not saying it because I didn't want you to think I'm some sort of crazy person, but
I love you too, Derek interrupted, and Styles froze.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he said, laughing. Get back down here.
Derek tugged at his hip, and Styles landed in a sprawl on Derek's chest, making him grunt. I love you, he said, mumbling the words against Derek's lips as they kissed, frantic and scrambling.
I love you too, Derek said, gripping Styles' hair to move him so he could kiss down the long line of his neck. I missed you so fucking much.
Groaning, Styles squirmed a hand between them and pawed at Derek's dick. I think we're gonna need to have sex. Derek laughed and pressed his head against the pillow.
You were almost asleep, and I'm tired.
Too fucking bad. You can just lay there, I'll do all the work.
Okay,
he said a little too quickly, and Styles smirked at him. Lazy butt.
You love bossing me around, don't lie.
Maybe a little, Styles admitted. Now shut up and let me blow you.
Okay,
Derek said again, murmuring the words as his eyes fell shut. Styles' mouth felt like an indulgence he didn't deserve, but he tried to shove those thoughts aside in favor of enjoying it. He came embarrassingly fast. Jerking off didn't really fit into his week of self-inflicted punishment, after all. But Styles didn't last much longer when Derek hauled him up by the shoulder and curled a careful hand around his dick. Styles was practically already snoring by the time he slumped off of Derek and onto the pillow, and he didn't budge when Derek reached over him to grab a tissue from the nightstand. He cleaned off his stomach and managed to slide further down into the sheets without dislodging Styles' grip. "I love you," he whispered, grinning when Styles mumbled something unintelligible in response. The umpire called a ball, the fourth one, and Derek watched in irritation as the batter bent to remove his shin guard before jogging to first base. It was the ninth inning, and he was somehow still pitching, but he knew this walk would probably be the last straw for Finstock. Sure enough, he popped out of the dugout, heading toward the mound, and Derek cursed. He finally felt back, and he wasn't ready to leave this game. So before Finstock could even open his mouth to say something, Derek jumped in. "Just let me finish this. Please, my arm is fine, I swear," he lied. It was quite sore, actually, but not to the extent that Derek needed to be worried, he knew. Finstock sighed and looked at Patty, who looked at Derek. He squinted. "Let him go," he said, nodding, and Derek exhaled. Finstock held up both hands and took a step back off the mound. "Fine. But one more base runner and you're out of there, Hale. Finish it up." He nodded and turned away, plucking the ball out of Patty's glove before Finstock could change his mind. The next three batters went down like clockwork, 1, 2, 3, and Derek pumped his fist, letting out a victorious shout. It wasn't a no-hitter, but it was a complete game shutout, and Derek felt just as proud, if not more so, as he had on that night in April. The Dodgers won, the Giants lost, and the playoff race was back on.